that God is teaching us to war, because there's really a battle to fight. The Christian life is not an easy one that we live just lying on the couch and hoping that things happen. They don't happen like that. There's an enemy out there that's trying to take our life, destroy the things that God has given us, and the Holy Spirit is pointing. I hope all of you are listening to me. The Holy Spirit is pointing us to the weapons of God, not the weapons of men. And if there's anything you want to know, is to make sure that the Word of God gets into you. Because I was saying on Thursday, there's a lot of layers of these traditions that are totally useless, worthless. It's not coming from God. And layers of them the devil has put in the lives of so many people. And that's the thing, that when the Word of God comes, it bounces off it. The Bible describes it as rock, hard rock. Traditions of men, the things we are brought up with, the things you learned, it's not from the Bible. You must make an effort to let the Word of God penetrate your life. If it doesn't, you will not benefit from it. I'm telling the truth of the matter. You can be coming to church and going, but your life will just regular, ordinary, nothing special to show. Because it's the Word of God, it's that wisdom that lifts you up. Can I hear amen? Amen. And that's why the enemy attacks us most. So you won't hear, so we come to church, you'll be sleeping, you'll be walking around. It's a crazy spirit doing all that kind of stuff to you. And then you miss as the thing is coming. I don't know what is more important to me than what God has to say. I don't listen to what people talk about and what the devil is talking about. I don't have time for that. But you see what God wants to say? I want to hear it. Because Jesus said, Mary has chosen the only thing that is what? Important to a human being is hearing God talk to him. I've told you here, the reason you come to church is mostly to be taught, to be built up. And so you have opportunity now to also teach others in the Sunday school and things like that, and grow as you do that. So if you come to church, I beg you, give ears to what God has what? To say. This world in which we live is not going, it's not going to be easier at all. They said for the first time in 100 years, there was earthquake in London, very close to London. The flu shots you take, the spread now is 25%, only 25% effective. So the flus are mutating and mocking the shots. Everything man has put in place has failed him. Everything. Everything. Let me ask you, what do you really trust in that will save you? Tell me that thing you trust in now that will save you. When she was in hospital, the doctors were confused. From hospital to from Beth Israel to the one in Newark, from the one in Newark back to Beth Israel, they were calling conferences. Didn't know they were. All the residences, all the specialists, they were calling each other. They were coming. They didn't know anything. They didn't know anything. I saw where men came to an end. And she was dying. She was mere skeleton. And they said she would not survive any further surgery on her, but they were recommending further surgery. They would finish everything. She would go home. Reuben, God will bless you. What a wonderful husband. Come on. A wonderful husband. Wonderful husband. To go home. And then Reuben will call me, Pastor, come again. And I'll hear my daughter in pain. Sometimes I'm dropping, just getting to my house. A few minutes, I'm back. I'm back there. I'm looking at her, lying there. Bone, mere bone. And they won't give her food because they are still investigating what they can know. Tell me, I want to ask you, what do you think will save you in this life? Is it your job or your money or people you know or your degree? Tell me what you think you trust in this world will live. This world of tears that will save you. That you won't take God seriously. You won't take the things of God seriously. Playing games with it as if to say you have anything more powerful that when the chips are done, you call on it, it will save you. Tell me what you are. Was she not going her way? Very beautiful young girl. All of a sudden, boom. One morning, boom. I do not know what wisdom we deceive you to think that there's safety anywhere else. I don't know. I've been saying this. A sister called me this morning. He said, "Pastor, I saw you in a dream. You were preaching and warning people. You see, you were preaching until I was shaking." He said, "You preached. And then you say the grace, and I woke up." He said, "I'm still hearing your voice." He said, "It doesn't come to this church." He said, "I saw your church. People packed at the back. Not sure shall we enter here." I said, "There are balconies. There are people packed." He said, "We are preaching and warning people and warning people." I said, "I've been warning people." Again, my question is, tell me that thing you think you can trust. Tell me. Trust in men of God. Trust in what? Is it not our vice, former vice president? I heard that he was either going up a step or something, just flopped and died. That was the end of vice president. The end. Look, declare public holiday as many days as you want. It's a corpse. And nobody, even if he gets up, people will run. It's a corpse. It's gone. My question is, in what do you really trust? That is, you know, I was telling my wife in the night, I said, "No." I said, "Some of these young people," I said, "the thing about God is so beautiful is that you can trust God with anything. Don't have to bother." I said, "Remember one young person that in Lagos, then this boy won't hear. He won't hear. No matter what the parents say, won't hear. The only son of the mother was almost dying because of him. And one day the mother died. It was after they buried the mother that it dawned on him that he had nothing to rely on. Right there, he gave his life to Christ. All that I know, they hear stopped instantly. His eyes realized that I have nothing. So he ran to the only thing, the only person who can hold him. That's God. But when the mother was alive." So when you come to church, you are not doing God a favor. You are doing yourself what? A favor. A big, a huge one. So God is telling us that, hey, there is an enemy out there that wants to destroy people, ruin their life, steal from them, kill. And it's a vicious spirit, determined to achieve his goal. He's out to do what he wants to do. He's not joking. But God says, "I put weapons in your hand that can deal with him. It will be in my own interest to understand how those weapons work and know how to deploy them, because I use them, you use them. We can't get by without them." Okay, so in Ephesians 4:6-14. Ephesians 6:14. "Stand therefore, having your Lions? How do you pronounce that? Loins. Loins, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm Nigerian first. Loins. Yeah. Loins got about with truth, and having on the breastplate of what? That's the one. And your feet shod with the preparation of what? Gospel of faith. Peace. Above all, take the what again? Shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of what? Salvation, and the sword of what? The Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, so we'll go back. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, every word of God that God gives us is a weapon. Everything God is telling us is to direct us in the path of safety. That's why it's called the word of life. To steer us away from destruction. And I want you to see that all these weapons that we have, all of them, they are all the truth, the word manifesting differently. All of them. You can't have any of them without the word. All of them. A to Z. That's the word in manifestation in different ways. Salvation is the gospel, is the truth, is the word. Righteousness, the word of what? Righteousness. Faith is called the word of faith. Sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Which other one? Which other one? Helmet of salvation is gospel, is the word of God. So it's the word of God manifesting in different ways. But it's all tied, it's all emanating from the word. So the word is like the belt that is carrying all of it. So if you remove the truth, fuck to nothing. None of them would work. They won't even be there. So when he says that the first, and that's why the Holy Spirit mentioned it, that their lions got it with truth. Is the truth is like the belt that is carrying all the armor. So it's the word that is manifesting in different ways. And comes, and last Sunday we were talking about righteousness as an armor to protect us. To protect us. It's an armor. 2 Corinthians 6:7. By the word of truth. By the word of what? Truth. By the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on your right hand and on your left hand. The armor of righteousness. And in Romans 13:12, we see it again illustrated. It says, the night, Romans 13:12, the night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You see, this righteousness is talking about is the works of righteousness. The works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. He called it the armor of righteousness, the armor of light, the armor of right living. And then we're saying that unrighteousness plays right into the hand of the devil, because it's the prince of darkness. Because if light is an armor, if I get off light and begin to operate in darkness, I'm operating in the area of the dark, where the devil is the prince. So he begins to influence my life. And I want to tell us a few things about unrighteousness so that we'll understand what we're doing. Unrighteousness kills your love for God. If you live inconsistent, and when I mean unrighteousness, it's not just sexual sin. I'm talking of the flesh. You. If you live in these unrighteous lives, you will, the love of God in you will be choked out and die. It will go. Your passion for Jesus will be gone. It will be gone. Why? The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, what will happen? The love of what? So what is quenching that love? Because of abundance of iniquity. Iniquity includes wrong doctrine. In fact, it's number one. Because that's what the devil is doing. The church was warned that there will be preponderance of wrong what? Doctrine. Because the doctrine is so key to your faith. Why? Because it's coming from Satan. Any wrong doctrine is coming from Satan because he's the father of lies. And there's nothing from Satan that is not intended to kill and destroy you. And in Revelation, the Holy Spirit, God says, I hate the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. Because it's from Satan. And he said to this church, he said, I'm happy that you don't allow those who are, say they are apostles, to be teaching in your church, because they are not, because they are the temple of Satan. So wrong doctrine is part of the iniquity we're talking about. Actually, Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, if you purge yourself of wrong doctrine, then your life, he said, then you can be a vessel meet for what? Good use. If you let iniquity that is abounding in these last days into your life, believe you me, your love for God will go down. Look at what he said, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? In him. Now I want to ask you, do you think that the world is not attracting Christians? Well, you know, you want to find out what you love by why you spend your money and your time. Because, you see, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So if the world is your treasure, that's where your heart will be. That's where you'll be spend your time, you know, including leisure, lousiness. When it comes to God, your passion is gone. You just find a lot of excuses not to engage, not to get up and go to church, not to get up and go to Bible study. You have all these excuses as signs you don't love God at all. Listen, they say the way to a lover's house is never long. If you are married, you know what I'm saying. The way to a lover's house is what? Never long. What you love is your treasure. Once you start hearing excuses, you don't love that thing. If you love that thing, they say if you pay somebody with what they love, whether the thing is rich or not, it will take it. And God is not going to take anything that's not offered by love, because your heart is not in it. You are not really offering it. Your heart is not in it. That's why they say God loves a willing offering. A cheerful giver. Not a grumbling giver. Again, that's why a lot of people give. They don't get anything because they give the God that and be murmuring and complaining. And the Holy Spirit warned the church, the dangers of murmuring and complaining will open the devil to eat you up. He said, watch what happened to them in the Old Testament. He said, this is written for you, for your own admonition, so that these things don't happen to you. But because we don't listen. We think the Bible is given to us to do quieter, just quieter. But it's supposed to guide my life. We don't listen. We murmur a lot and complain even against God. We don't know the dangers of those things. And yet my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so the things that the enemy uses to attack the love of God we have, it's all these things that make you feel so leisure, entertain you, you know, make you feel okay. And then when we talk of the thing, Pastor, there are too many meetings. But when you are sick, you call Pastor every minute. You say, Pastor, I call you many times, don't come. You want Pastor to come. You know, I wonder, is this not the same Christianity I've been practicing for years? Is it not this Christianity that Paul practiced? They said, my life has been poured what? Out. Gave it to God. Kumi told us something. He said, I don't understand if we're in the same Christianity. He said, I do 7 services on Sunday. I don't even know when they finish. He said, I'm so engulfed in worshiping God that the 7 services just go like that. He said, somebody is in one and is grumbling. Look, I'm your pastor. You don't love Jesus, period. Lovers can stay on the phone for 3 hours and it will look like how many minutes? 1 minute. If you love Jesus, you can't have enough of him. David, I said, David loved God so much. He said, I was glad when they say, let us go into the house. Anytime you said to David, house of God, he gets up. He gets up. He said, God, I'm going. Oh, I'm going. So all these things are the things that unrighteousness produces in our lives. We grumble, we murmur, we complain. And so God sees this to be our treasure. But something else is our treasure, because the heart cannot be void. Nature abhors vacuum. Something is your treasure. Something. And there's no more Jesus. And Jesus said, you can't serve two what? So I'm no more your master now. You have another person. And he said it plainly. He said, if you love anything more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. That's the end of the matter. Whether we agree or not, he has said it, but that's it. So all these things, it's the issue that we have. And then look at, and unless we love the truth, I want you to hear this. Church, I'm begging you. Listen to me. Unless you love Jesus, unless you love the truth, you will never get revelation. I don't care what you think you are doing. Why? It's not a treasure to you. And God says, I don't give my peers to what? Pigs. They will trample. They don't need the value. They trample upon it. He said, why should I give you? It's a treasure. I'm not giving it to you. Until it becomes a treasure to you, God won't give you that treasure. If it's not a treasure to you, God will not give it to you. Because you won't know the value. You will think he's giving to you to make religion. I've been trampling upon it. Didn't you read what he said? He said, commit my things into the hand of faithful men who will be able to use it. So don't give it to people who are not faithful. If you don't love the truth is not your treasure. You can be doing religion all you like. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. But revelation, you're not getting. Paul called it treasure in earthen vessels. That this is treasure. And because it was treasure to him, how do I know it was treasure to him? He said there is nothing that compares with what? The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus. He had abundance of revelation. One time the Lord said to me, he said, do you know why I reveal things to you? I said, you love me now. He says, no, not all the story. He said, because it's treasure to you. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, if you don't call it treasure, you don't get it. Is it not what you seek? He said, because it's treasure to you. He said, you don't read the Bible to read. He said, you are always seeking to know the truth. So you can pause there and be praying and say, Lord, I haven't understood this. It's important to me. Say, because it's treasure to you. Say, that's why I give it. And to help us deal with this issue of this, all these kind of unrighteous things that we encounter in life, repentance is very key. What did I say? Very important. Repentance is not an emotional thing. It's not an emotional thing. Repentance is a genuine change of heart that results in action. Do you know, have you read about Paul talking to Felix the king? You know, when Paul started to preach of righteousness, and the Bible said the man began to shake. And he said to Paul, it's enough. Man, this thing is too much. But the Bible says after that, he was waiting for Paul to bribe him. After that shaking and things, there was no repentance. He was still waiting for Paul to what? To bribe him. So what was all that? Well, I think we should read it. Acts 24:25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. The man trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a covenant season, I will call thee." Then verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Whereof he sent for him oftener and communed with him. So he was calling Paul to come and preach to him. Not because of, but because he was looking whether Paul would say, "Oga, can we stalk?" You know, let me tell you something. If somebody deceives you, it's bad enough. But when you start deceiving yourself, that's terrible. I mean, if somebody deceives you, it's bad enough. But when you take the role of deceiving yourself, who else will pull you out of it? You see what this man is doing? He's self-deceiving. When a Christian begins to engage in self-deceit, he's hurting himself. Because the Bible says God cannot be what? Mocked. It says, "Be you doers of the word, or you just deceive yourself." Let me repeat it. If somebody deceives you, it's bad. But when you now take it upon yourself to be deceiving who? That's terrible. Who will help you? That's what this thing is resulting when we do not take repentance seriously. We don't allow the word to penetrate us. Because we sit up and say, "Nothing will happen." Until one day something happens. Because the cup is, one day it will be full. God said to somebody, "Say, allow those people to be doing what they are doing." He said, "One day their cup will what?" Then say, God said, "Then I'll be just." The things about this cup is that you don't even know when it's when the last day is the last one. You have no idea. I'll be doing what you like. Everything has consequence. Everything has consequence and has timing. But before the time you can think, "Oh," that's why the scripture says they made a covenant with death and hell, saying that nothing will happen to us. He said that's a terrible covenant because that death and hell is coming. Didn't you read what the Bible says? Save yourself from this untoward what? A generation that deceives themselves. You know, we are Americans. I'm an American too now. They always say, "You are in our thought and prayers." And I say, "Which prayer?" That's self-deceit. All these politicians tell us that they, any tragedy, "Die in our thought and prayer." I'm saying, really? Which prayer? Let's not be like Felix. Come to church often. They don't love God. You don't even want him to talk to you. You are looking for his blessing. You don't care about God. You are looking for his blessing. And if he doesn't come quick, you start complaining and murmuring and grumbling. There's a time your cup will be full because you are playing with trouble. You don't go and insult God and they hope that that's not going to bless you. Nobody does that. Are looking for trouble. God is God. Can I hear amen? Amen? One time the Lord was talking to me. I was talking to the Lord about her. And the Lord said, "I am God." The thing shook me like, "Whoa, whoa." I said, "I'm God." I said, "Yes, Lord, you are God." He said, "Then listen to my word." Everything went silence. The thing shook me. He said, "I'm God." I'm telling you, the thing shook me. And he said, "Then listen to my word." Boom, silence. I want to tell us something that will help us here. A healthy faith A healthy life of faith, a healthy Christian life, is not one that is afraid to admit contradictions. I want you to listen and get it. A healthy life of a Christian and a healthy faith is not one that is afraid to admit what? Contradictions in his life. Because if you don't admit contradictions in your life, you are not likely to repent of them. And guess where it's leading you? You are going to be a hardened sinner. Where your conscience is now dead. A healthy Christian life is one that admits contradictions, admits failures, and goes to a loving God and says, Lord, fix me. And God is not embarrassed. He is there to fix you. Can I hear amen? God is not mad. He's not embarrassed. He's the physician looking for those who say we are sick. We need help. Jesus is not embarrassed. That's why he came. All of us are being built up. We are being built up. We are still being built up. So the job is not done. But you see, when we think that a healthy Christian faith is the one that denies contradiction. Because if you accept it, then you are not a good Christian. You are trapping yourself where the devil wants you. A point of living in perpetual self-lying and deceit. A place of self-denial where there's nothing to repent of, nothing to talk to God about. And yet inside, the putrefaction is going on and people are noticing it and they have started to avoid you. They won't tell you. Are there not people you know who are Christians? You don't bother them anymore. Because if you open your mouth, trouble. Trouble. Even as a pastor, there are people you stop bothering. You say, Pastor, really? God does the same. You read your Bible. You say, because they made this choice, I've given them up to do their own thing. They won't listen to me. We get better, brethren. We get better as Christians. The more we admit our contradictions, our failures, the better we get. The more sincere we are. The more sensitive our conscience is. The more humble we are. Jesus said, I want truth in the inward part. Paul said, I've not attained. I'm still being built up. He said, everything you say is the grace of God. Really, if you don't understand grace, you would think that to admit fault makes you a bad Christian. No, that's when you are really a good Christian, a sincere person. And God is looking for sincere heart. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If you get what I'm saying, you say amen. That's how to keep a sensitive conscience going. Otherwise, believe you me, you will trap yourself into this self-deceit of self-righteousness that needs no repentance and nothing. But you are decaying inside and God knows it. The devil knows it too. So if we develop this kind of sensitivity to being sincere, it will be easy for me to say to him, I'm sorry. Because that doesn't diminish my Christianity. It rather enhances what? My Christianity. Yeah, it's easy to me say, my brother, I'm so sorry. You know what I told you the other day? I found out it's not true. I don't even wait whether he knows. I'm going there and say, my brother, you know what I told you is not true. I'm sorry about it. Why? That's what makes me, that's what the singing purifies me. And if there are contradictions in my life I'm struggling with, it doesn't make me less a Christian. What the issue is when I begin to deny it, but if I go to Jesus and say, Lord, you know it, and I also what? Know it. I lied before. I need you to fix this. I don't even know what to do about it. He said, come. All ye that are heavily what? Yes, come. A healthy Christian is not We are Hebrews chapter 12 calls the church an assembly of spirits of just men made perfect. Spirits. It didn't say flesh. Spirits of just men made what? Perfect. Because when you are born again, your spirit is perfect. That's what the Holy Spirit is referring to. That the church is an assembly of spirits of just men. Spirits of just men made what? Perfect. But in reality now, because of the flesh we have contradictions. And we should understand that when somebody admits his contradiction, that's a noble thing. That's somebody that's honest, that is courage, that should be encouraged, you should really appreciate it and then do everything to encourage the person and say, my brother, I really appreciate this. I'm praying that God will also help me, that I too will be able to admit my error. Do you know why people quarrel? Nobody wants to admit their fault. Let me ask you a question. Does it make the fault go away? I'm asking. Tell me what advantage it gives. Is it not what gives the devil the foothold? That you want to dislodge by admitting and say, Lord, this thing is going to give the enemy advantage over me. It's going to weaken my passion for you. I don't want this thing. And I don't even know how to deal with it. The Lord says, yeah, you don't know. Let me teach you how. He will teach you the word of faith to overcome. Am I communicating? Yeah. And so God gave us that. And what I'm trying to say is, the unrighteousness in our lives, the things we do that are not in line with the life of Christ, we shouldn't be ashamed to accept them and believe and acknowledge them so that God will have mercy on us and begin to walk on us. Before I leave that point, I want to tell us something. I wish I can come down. There is no way you are, people don't know. They may not tell you. That thing you're hiding, somebody knows it. They may not bother you. I'm not kidding. You know, I pastor you people. I know. Well, you should know now. All those hot tempered, good tempered people, you know them. All those difficult people, you know them. One man came to me and said, Pastor, we know you are members. He said, we know them because we meet them somewhere. He said, we just thank God for you. He said, because if not that they know that if they mess up here, you will throw them out. He said, they can't talk. He said, this church is serious. He said, they can't do all those things here because, Pastor, we know you will throw them out. But, Pastor, we know them very well. We know all the troublemakers. But when they come here, they say, we come and see them. They're like, wow. I say, yeah, if they bother us, I'll throw them out. Because that's what the Bible says. He said, mark those that walk disorderly among you and have nothing to what? Do with them. If you do that, I'll throw you out. Quick. If you bother me, I tell God, this man bothered me. You're bothering me. I'll tell God, I bothered me. Yeah. I'll tell God, you're bothering me. This man is bothering me. So, the helmet of salvation is a helmet. Can I have my hat? Don't worry. Man is there. It's under that bag. Yep. It's a helmet. Just for purpose of illustration. It's what? What is helmet supposed to protect? Every weapon that the Spirit of God gives us tells us what it does. For instance, the breastplate of righteousness protects your heart, your love for Jesus. That's what I've been talking about. It protects your heart, the love you have for Jesus, which is the key thing. The Bible says if you don't love God, then you don't know him. And if you don't love, he says you are still abiding in death. You don't have eternal life in you, period. And Jesus said the identity of Christians is that they love. By this shall all men know what? And my disciples, they see that you love like me. And he came to Peter. I said, Peter, do you, how many times? Because that's the key thing. That's all that God wants from us. Because if you love God, your heart will be there. God will be your treasure. You can give God everything. And if God says sit down, you'll sit down with joy. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, then you can do a command. Not before then. If you don't love me, if I tell you something, you will sift it and then bring the things you love and compete with me. And then say, no, I will do one quarter, Jesus, but this one I'm not doing. Then you find beautiful reasons why I won't do that. Because you love something better than me. That's it. So now, helmet covers your head. Now I want to ask you a question. If your head, if your hand is cut off, can you be alive? If your leg is cut off, can you be alive? If your head is cut off. Salvation. Without it, you don't have life. That's why it's head. Helmet of what? You can't do without it. And it's amazing. Praise the Lord. When you continue, if you don't yield yourself to the humility of repentance, those of us who are married, can we start it in the homes, please? Learn to go to your wife and say, honey. If you have not called her, honey, call her. At least today, let her suspect you. Say, really? Did I hear you? Say, yeah, pastor, say, I called you, honey. They start from there. Say, honey, no. The things I told you, I know I hurt you. I'm so sorry. Please. Because it makes you a stronger Christian. And nothing will be a stronger Christian. That's a teaching moment. You teach by what you do now. Do you know your wife respects you more? You respect you more. Then when you are there, I know you're there. When you do that, they look at you and say, yeah. But when you come and say, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I hurt you. She will say, really? Yeah. Do you know the way she will assess you will go? That's the image of Christ, humility. That's the glory of God. We fell short of it, but now we've risen to it. We can do it now. Through Christ. Will give us all this way. So, if you don't practice repentance seriously and your conscience is hardened, it might lead you to lose your salvation. It will wreck your faith. You'll backslide. This thing, will go. So, you need to protect it. You need to what? Protect it by keeping a, Paul said, we serve God with a good conscience nourished on truth. Second Peter 2:20. Need to protect that helmet, that your salvation alive is what is the thing that keeps your head. Together keeps it. 2 Peter 2:20. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world, how did they escape? By knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then they get entangled up and enslaved by what? Sin again. They are worse off than before. Who wrote this Bible? That's God. What's up down before? Continue. It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. Continue. They prove the truth of this proverb. A dog returns to his vomit. And another says, a washed pig returns to what? They tell you, once saved, always saved. It's a lie from Satan. People can deny Christ of their own self-volition. Your faith is by self what you decide. You can decide again, say, I'm not doing again. Haven't you had people who basically say, I'm not doing again? That's what he's talking about. That this iniquity can lead you to cold heart cold. Your passion is gone. You know it that you are no. This other, and from there you'll be at all manner of things. You'll be admitting all manner of things. Before long, they tell you somewhere you go. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, if somebody told me I could do this, I won't be. I said, what did you do? He said, I went to a native doctor. And he's a pastor. Is he not in this country? That one man came to one of those big churches and told them, he said, we have two powers here. If you want it by this, we'll give you. If you want it by this, we'll give you. He said, anyone will walk. And I asked the man, I said, what did their pastor say? He said, their pastor just kept quiet. And they were doing night vigil. And falling. Are you shocked? Don't you know that many Pentecostals are doing this? Don't you understand that many, even some people sitting here with you, are doing this? Are you shocked? Shocked? Their faith is no more in Christ alone. That song we sing, my faith is built on nothing less than no more. No more. They don't care. They say God gives gifts. It's God that gives gifts to people. His gift to. What gift? I don't care. One miracle. Okay, don't worry about it. Desperate for miracles, the devil takes a hook. But watch your heart. Cool. What did Jesus say to the Ephesian church? He said, watch where you have what? Fallen. Because you've left your first love for me. You don't love me anymore. You're gone. Called it falling. See, you have fallen. I was telling the women, I said, what do you gain that you die and people are praising God that you went to heaven when you are here? You're not a Christian. Who will you really blame for God's sake? Who will I blame if I find myself in the wrong place? Is it that God didn't talk to me? He said that those people, they will go back to their vomit. They'll go back there. They'll go back there. And the helmet of salvation, the devil will take it from you. Crush this. Then that includes those who will deny the grace of God. Just in case you don't know, they deny the grace of God. Galatians 5:4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. You're out. Falling from grace, you're gone. Because your faith is not in Christ alone. The helmet of salvation is to protect your faith in Christ alone. As your Lord and what? Savior. Thou shalt not have any other God besides me. And don't make yourself your Savior. Don't create another Savior. Because if you do, the Bible says you are falling from what? Which means you were there, but you fell off. Go to many of your groups and hear what they are talking about. These are Christians. One man said, all this grace we are talking about, when we were doing evangelism, social, who kept me? You are talking of grace. How did grace keep me? It's me. My hand has done all of it. See, his faith is not in Christ. It's not part of it. Jesus said, the Bible said, Christ will profit you what? Nothing. Which means you are out. I can read the scripture where the Holy Spirit said, many will be doing this. Many of you. Don't argue with anybody who is in that class. Just be praying for them. Leave them alone. The scripture is being fulfilled. Many are called. Praise the Lord. And then we're talking about the gospel as a weapon. You know, I wanted to start from the bottom. When I wanted to start, the Lord said, no, go back. They don't get emotional. Go back. So I started where I wanted. And it's flowing. The anointing is on it. Am I right? Praise the Lord. So we talked about the gospel as a weapon. Because, and then look at the prepared, is that is where? Foot. He said your feet should be covered with the preparation of the gospel of what? Why is the foot? Go ye into. It's with the foot you go. Foot you go. Hey, salvation. Righteousness protects your love, your heart. Foot is for. Go. With that gospel of peace. To attack the devil. He's dead. Because when you preach the gospel, people are saved from the power of sin. Then we talk about shield of faith. And we say that looking unto Jesus, who is the author and what? Now, the faith that saves, the faith that builds the shield, is the faith that is in Christ Jesus alone. So all the blessings of God is packaged for us in Christ, all of it. And those are the things you stand. That's what she did. She built her shield of faith with scripture based on what God has done for her in what? In Christ Jesus. She stood her ground. She built it up. He said to the devil, no, you don't have any portion here. The Lord has done this. The Lord has done this. The Lord has what? Done this. They will throw the arrow. She will pull up the thing. He said, this is what Jesus did. Two around, she pulled up another scripture and said, no, this is what Jesus did. And the thing will hit there and come again. She will pull up another one and say, no, this is what Jesus did. He has opened this door of healing. You cannot close it. By his stripes have been, you can't close it, devil. Look at it. So, you know, the battle is no more now yours. It's now who? That's why we quench every penny. Because they can't stand the Lord. They cannot do what God did on the cross. To those that believe. So, that's the shield you pull up. Everybody say shield. Pull it up. But for you to pull it up, it must live in your heart. It must be a living truth in your heart. Not just a mere church doctrine. It has to be something you believe with all your heart. And then it must be something you now what? Say. You believe it with what? All your heart. Then you what? When you say it, it becomes the sword of the Spirit. When you say it, it becomes what? The sword of the Spirit. So you got to learn to pull your sword and say, it is what? Because the scripture says, the word, my word in your mouth is like fire and like what again? What? Hammer. 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 Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as what? Fire? Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23:29, King James Version. What version is this? Okay. King James people, praise the Lord. It's snow today, so we are giving you today. You have all the snow days are yours. All the non-snow days are mine. So this is yours. It's not my word like as a what? Fire, said the Lord. And like a what? Hammer that breaketh the... So all the rocks that rise up against you, you now know the fire. That those one they call the fire, forget about those ones. The real fire is the word of God you speak. That's the real fire. That's why the devil wants you, doesn't want you to know it. The real fire, when you say it is what? You spit the thing. The Holy Spirit is not my word like what? Fire. And like what? Hammer. So the rock of sickness, the rock of this, all those rocks and things, hindrances, mountains and things, that's why Jesus said, you speak to them, they move. You bring hammer and poof, Are you still there? Whoa! Break it to pieces. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit of God uses it. Because when you speak it, He performs it. He said, what I speak, what I perform is what I hear you what? Say. And until you say it, He'll be waiting. But once you start saying it, you are throwing fire, causing confusion everywhere. You are throwing, boy, get busy saying it. That's why I love what I know did this one. He made us say it. I'm not a slave. You can't bind me, I'm not a slave. No, 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 you can't bind me, I'm not a slave. I'm a child. God. You can't be a slave and the child of the King of Kings at the same time. You either not this and become this, or you are this and become this. For God's sake, if the Son shall set you free, draw up the thing and say, no, you can't bind me. Masturbation, you can't bind me, you can't bind me, you can't bind me. I've been delivered from your power. You say, woof. The thing is coming. The spirit world, wow. And then the hammer, poof, poof. You keep doing it, boom. Keep doing it, boom. And one day, glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. For His mercies endure forever. Amen, O Lord. For His mercies endure forever.